If this is your first time to Coming Back to Love, the podcast, welcome. We're so glad you found us. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. Either way, you're not here by accident. I'm your host, Karen Walker-Cohn, a wife, a mom, entrepreneur, friend, and dreamer who is ready to step into more of who I am created to be. I am committed to personal transformation for global impact. Now, this podcast may be very different from others. Our guests don't come with a topic or agenda. They come open and ready to receive and deliver the message that's meant for you. You will also notice our podcast is not overly produced. This is on purpose. Our hope is we will inspire you to step into who you're created to be, regardless of how it may look. Take inspired action on that book, business, relationship, and yes, podcast, or whatever it is on your heart. In my experience, my mess usually ends up being my message. I encourage you to approach our time today with a beginner's mindset and with openness to receive what is meant for you. I'm so excited to introduce you to my friend, Debbie Radish Respis. Debbie and I met while we were doing our ontological coach training, back in 2017. So I'm so excited to introduce her to you and have her on the podcast. She is known as the Alignment Alchemist with over three decades of experience as a leader in corporate operations and executive HR. She supports seasoned business owners and executive leaders to build a strategy that turns misalignment into magic so that they can bridge the gap between their people and their purpose. Debbie is a beautiful communicator and public speaker, and her specialty is building long-term relationships across internal and external customer environments with integrity, confidence, authenticity, and trust. Debbie, along with Krista Ryan, who was on a previous CBTL, the podcast called Keep Freaking Going. If you haven't listened, go back and take a listen to that one. Myself and others who I'm sure you'll meet on upcoming podcasts come from a long line of exceptional leaders and ontological coaches developed by New Field Network, which was founded by Julio Olalla. He is regarded as a pioneer of the coaching profession and transformational learning fields. I invite you to check out New Field Network if you're interested in the modality of ontological coaching. What is ontological coaching? It's a methodology that studies a person's way of being, specifically in three main domains: body or somatic learning, emotional, and language. So now, before you run over to Google, please welcome Debbie Radish Respis to the podcast. Debbie, when you hear the title of this podcast, Coming Back to Love, what experience from your life comes to mind?
Well, that's an insightful first question. Thanks, Karen, for starting it off right out of the bat. I actually feel like I came back to love of myself, actually. 30 years of corporate America, I went through a lot of stuff being previously married. And it was 2018 where I kind of like refound myself. 2008 when I found my husband. But coming back to love is like coming back to who you are and what you do and what you are meant to do in this world. Boy, that's a really, really deep question. And I think that you've got to be able to come back really to who you are and what you stand for and why you stand for it, and being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good. And for you, what does being true to yourself mean? What does that look like?
It actually means showing up as yourself, you know, morals, values. My dad taught me character at a really young age, and I lost some of that character as I like got into the world. Because you kind of, I jokingly say that when I left corporate America, I was so tired of putting on my corporate armor to protect myself and putting up my professional veneer to hide who I really was. I'm a pretty cool person, and I'm fun and open and honest. Sometimes a little too direct. But I have a heart of gold. And when I allow that to come out, that's really being the authentic me. It's, I love serving others. I love helping others, but I'm also not afraid to hold people accountable, both personally and professionally.
Yeah.
Like that's like who I am and what I kind of bring to the table. It's, I see big picture. I see the small trees. I see the, like, I'm just like this weird kind of package with all these cool little things all wrapped up inside.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that about you. I love that, that package, because I feel like I in the past have not tended to surround myself with people who, will hold me accountable and do so in such a loving way, because I was so afraid of being criticized, because, you know, criticism was the same as rejection for me. And what would you say to someone who resonates with what I just said, where surrounding yourself with people who will hold you accountable just seems really scary?
As an executive coach, I actually would ask the question, like, what's so scary? What's so scary about that? Do you not hold yourself accountable? Like what, and what does accountability mean to you? Sometimes people put like false or too high a standard on expectations. So therefore they feel they're always going to fail. So just don't hold me accountable, and therefore I can't fail.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's defining what is accountable, and putting in like realistic standards and expectations. I love John Maxwell's like fail forward, right? Like accountability has to allow some failures, and being okay, like giving yourself permission to fall. We didn't learn to walk right out of the womb, right? You know, you gotta crawl before you can stand, before you can walk, before you can run. And I think when people are afraid to be held accountable, I don't think that they have given themselves an appropriate definition for what that really means. And they don't know what they're really afraid of until they start thinking about, well, what does accountability mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the whole, you know, fact meaning. Like for me, I made it mean rejection. So, and I made myself wrong. So if somebody said, oh, you know, like gave me some type of feedback, feedback, I hated that word. And now it's so crazy because I have this saying, I eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Give me all the feedback. And but I made that mean that they were rejecting me.
Well, and that's interesting because, you know, even feedback, like I always go to definitions. I didn't define things well when I was in corporate America. Like I just kind of assumed everybody had the exact same definitions and we were all on the same page, which is what causes a lot of conflict. But I think defining things, like even with feedback, like, do I want feedback or do I want to hear what you're seeing? Like, you know, what am I missing? Like, that's one of my favorite questions is, well, what am I missing? I'm technically asking for feedback, right? But I'm saying it in a way to go, you have a different perspective. So bring that to the table, right? And I want to hear your perspective, even on me. Like, you know, what am I missing? You know, did I not show up a certain way or did I show up in a way that was even better than I thought? Like, I don't know, right? So, hey, what, you know, just what am I missing? Like, that's, and even with accountability, it's, there's an agreement on an expectation. If you're going to hold me accountable, that's not about, you know, I mean, and I use the word rejection because that's what showed up for you. But I also think that we miss opportunities to set appropriate expectations. You know, you get what you tolerate, not what you expect, because we don't talk about what is the expectation. How can I hold you accountable if I don't know what that expectation is? And it's an agreement. There's an agreement there. So it's just, man, this is like kind of circular, I guess, but it's all part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you get to, because I mean, that's the, you know, asking questions, you know, first of all, I wouldn't give somebody feedback unless I asked their permission to do so, you know, because I get to ask the question, right? Like, are you open to feedback? Are you open to hearing what I'm seeing? Are you open to hearing my perspective? And that choice gets to be that other person instead of what I was doing is like, blah, here it is. Well, I think blah, blah, blah. And so I am careful about that now. Yeah. And I also made it,
you know, but isn't that,
so now I it's not a rejection. It's a meaning of.
Yeah. Isn't that part of the journey in life though? Right. How we show up, you know, we were just talking like what's authentic and what is real and what is, life's the journey. This is how we learn and grow. And I don't know. I love getting older. I know that sounds crazy. I just had a birthday recently and I love getting older because I love this journey of life.
I lost you after. I love getting older. I love that.
So I said, I love getting older because I love this journey of life. I love how I'm growing and learning. I give myself more permission to be wrong and to do things in my uncomfortable zone. And I don't worry so much about what I care about what people think, but I don't allow that to make me stop and not experience life and enjoy life. And I don't know, just kind of be human. It's why I do what I do in my career, but I see it just transfer over into my personal life as well.
So the last question, so I want to ask you is, if our listeners can take away one message from you in this podcast, what would you like them to take away?
Know what your character is. Know what you stand for. I think it's really important. This is going to be really probably controversial. I'm not really fond of DE&I. And I say that because we're all humans and we're all uniquely made and we have unique gifts. And We have so much to give each other that you have to look beyond the skin tone or whatever. And I think character is what you should judge people on. I think character is how we work together and play together and have friends. And I think the great, like I said earlier, like the greatest gift my dad ever gave me was to really know what my character was. And I don't feel that people consider their own character. I think that a lot of folks think they know who they are and think they know what they stand for, but they're more or less trying to make sure everybody else is okay with them, even when they're lying to themselves. And I think that's an unfortunate place to be. And when I do like my executive coaching or, you know, work with the executives that I work with, it's, we kind of get to the heart of that is, you know, what do you stand for? What are your values? Does the company have those same values? How are you exhibiting that, you know, behaviors and speech and all of that completely is a reflection of your character. And you can tell when someone's faking and when someone's lying and when someone is, you know, again, putting on that corporate armor and putting up that professional veneer and they're not who they need to be. And I think it's unfortunate because I think that we're all pretty beautiful human beings and we have so much to give and we just don't allow ourselves to do it.
Yeah. Wow. That's so good. It brings up a lot of stuff in me. And I talk about triggers. It seems like every single podcast, because, you know, the woke world seems to have hijacked that word trigger. And, and instead of making it mean something about themselves, it's the other person. They triggered me. I don't have to stand for this, blah, blah, blah. And hear my heart. I am not saying that you should not have boundaries and you should not stand up for yourself. What I'm saying is that trigger is a gift. If you will look at it from that perspective, it is the universe, God, whatever word you choose. I choose God. I know you choose God. It is God saying, here's an area that you get to look at. And the awareness, the word I'm hearing is this awareness.
Yeah, but it opens up the opportunity for conversation.
Yes.
It's not, you know, it's not about I'm right, you're wrong, you're right, I'm wrong.
Right.
We have different perspectives,
so good.
Different upbringings, we have different lives, and that's okay. To me, trigger should open conversations, but people are afraid because they don't know what they really stand for. And that goes back to you got to understand what your character is and what you stand for so that you can have those intelligent, sometimes emotional conversations, that are sometimes passionate and direct, but you can still come at it from love. You can still come at it from, you're another human being. I'm going to respect that. And I'll love you through this. We don't have to get it. You know, we don't have to agree. It's okay not to agree. And I think that we are now living in a world of everybody has to agree or you're wrong. And I don't believe that. I don't want yes men working for me.
Right.
Yeah. You know? That's character. That's my thing.
Yeah. I love that. And character based on your perspective of what character means to you. We all get to have perspective. And for me, this is the whole purpose of this podcast, right? Well, one of the purposes of this podcast, I get to hear your perspective And it's like, you know, over the weekend I was volunteering in a kitchen and serving what I like to call water walkers. Like, these are the top like 1% of people who are willing to dive deep into learning about their character. And not everybody wants to do that, right? They just want to but these are people who are like, yes, you know, got 115 people that in a room that are like, yes, I want to learn about my character. And so I got to serve in the kitchen. And one of the pans, because we're serving, 100 plus people, one of the pans in the oven, I was doing the dishes and I got to wash them. And I'm looking at this pan and I'm scrubbing it. And I was like, okay, that looks good. Now I'm going to put in the sanitizer. And I moved it off to the side. And then I looked back and I went, oh, that is not clean at all. It hit me. That pan, I moved it and now it's in a different position. It's in a different light. And I was able to see areas that I didn't see before when I had it over here in front of me washing it. And I thought, wow, isn't that perspective? So then, because the pan had ridges and all these different things, I grabbed the pan and I started looking at it in different lights, turning it around. And I'm going, oh, wow, Karen, I get to clean that a little bit better. A lot better. But yeah, that's kind of what it was. It's like when you can shift and, when I get to look at Debbie's perspective on things, it's like, oh yeah, that's a new light. What can I learn from that? And instead of going, oh, I'm triggered. you did something wrong and I don't have to stand for that. And it's like, whoa, I just step back and go, why did that trigger me? That's really interesting. And I can also go, thank you, Debbie. Yeah, you triggered me. Mm-hmm. And I got to look at something new because of it. Thank you. What a gift. Right. That's a whole different perspective.
Yeah. I think that is a lost, it's becoming a lost art, the art of conversation. Mm. and the way to have discussions, the most brilliant ideas come out of all those different perspectives. And sometimes it's a hodgepodge of everybody's ideas, right? I mean, that's where innovation, that's where innovation comes into play, is because you have a different perspective. Yeah. You have 10 different people standing on different corners and looking at the same accident. You're going to get 10 different versions of that accident, right? And the cool thing is, like, as you were talking about, cleaning that pan, we're all kind of that pan. Like, we have to look at ourselves differently as well, because I can't see myself from the side or from the back. Mm-hmm. I can see myself looking down, right? I don't know what I look like from the top. I don't look like, I don't know. So I have to get a different perspective. And we all have those ridges that have sometimes really deep dirt that needs to be kind of scrubbed, right? So I'm totally using your example now.
Good. And that's the whole point, right? Like, let's use all the things that we're learning to share with someone else, So like I say to my listeners, from not every week, but in the intro, it says every week, is that, if you're here listening to this podcast today of all times, do you know all the different things that had to align for you to be listening to this podcast today? And it's not an accident. What you can learn from here and put it into action into your own life. And we want to hear from you too. We want to hear your perspectives. Share that with us. Gosh, Debbie, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being in my life as long as you have. I met this beautiful, beautiful soul as we were going through. You know, we were some of the people in the room, the top 2% that is looking at changing our own characters, or I wouldn't say changing the characters. No, that's the wrong. To discovering more of who we are. And and we've been in contact ever since. And I love that. And even when we've had those like long gaps, we still come back together. We contact each other like we never left. And that's when, you know, like this person's my heart. So you are my heart, Debbie. And I'm so glad to have you here.
Ditto. I couldn't have said it better, Karen. I just, you were very special to me right from the beginning. And I just feel like that's grown through the years, even though I love that, the naps between the last time we talked and now, right? So it's just, it's beautiful. You as well, my friend, are a very beautiful soul. And I'm very blessed to have you in my life.
Stay tuned for some more golden nuggets with our bonus stories.
Yeah. So here's my quick little story about my dad, about character. I was like 17 and I was buying my own car. We made a deal with, it was a 80 something Monte Carlo and I fell in love with it. It was exactly what I wanted. And we had agreed on $2,000 at the mm-hmm. dealership, you know, and it was kind of one of those slimy dealerships that you're like, my dad's coming with me because I'm not going alone. And we walk in. Yeah. And my dad's got the money. And my dad hands over $1,000 and the guy looks at it and he's like, all right, we're good to go. And the guy says this, my dad's like, are you sure? And the guy's like, oh yeah, we're good to go. Yeah. This is everything. And my dad's like, are you sure? He says it like 4 or 5 times. Like they go back and forth. Now the agreement is $2,000. The guy only has $1,000. And mm-hmm. I'm like, dad, let's go. Like, okay. The guy's okay with $1,000. Let's go. Like I'm okay with that. Right. You know, it's my money, right? Cause that's a lot of money when you're 17 or 18, whatever I was. And my dad's like, are you really sure, sir, that we're good? And the guy looks, you know, looks back down and dad's like, you should count that. And the guy counts it and he's like, yeah, I think we're good. And my dad's like, we agreed to $2,000. I only gave you $1,000. And the guy's like, oh my gosh. He goes, why would you not have left? He said, because we agreed to $2,000. And I will never forget the character that my dad showed in that 1 second, that it has just stuck with me. Not like I haven't seen it prior to those 18 years, right? But that was so impactful to me about character. So that's my character story of just like what I grew, what I woke up with today.
I love that. I love that so much. And you know what came to my mind is, and you married a man like that too.
Oh, I did. Very much. So he will never compromise his character. And mm-hmm. I've been around a lot of people who compromise their characters for, whatever reason. My husband Lee will absolutely not. There is, and I love it because it keeps me in line. Because it's easy to fall into wokeness. It's easy to fall into, well, I'm just going to let this slide a little bit. Nope. There's no sliding. You know, there are certain things that are black and white and it's not okay to slide. So it's very cool.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, and you married someone like that because you are someone like that. So that makes a difference too.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we surround ourselves.
We hold each other accountable.
Exactly. Yeah.
And let me tell you, we do. Like, and my friends now, my friends are totally different than what they were many, many, many years ago. But I find myself surrounded by even the clients that I work with. Like, yeah. I'll say no to certain people because I know that they don't have, this is going to sound horrible, but they don't have what it's going to take to go on the journey. And I, you know, I can't live within that falsehood anymore. I did it for too long and I won't do it anymore. Not just personally, but, you know, even with people that I knew at work or whatnot. So,
right. Right. No, I get it. I am kind of learning how to balance that, you know, like I told this story before. I actually told this story this week and I'm now thinking, have I ever told this story on a podcast? I don't know that I ever have. And one of the things I'm doing is eliminating but out of my vocabulary. I want to share this vision about, and I may have shared it with you at a time because it happened like 10 plus years ago. I remember Holy Spirit saying to me, for every 1 mile of road is 2 miles of ditch. And it stuck with me a long while ago because it stuck with me all this time. Because the first thing I thought was like, mile. Like I was living, you know, I'm from Canada. So we don't talk like that. I thought it was weird that, you know, God, why would you say mile? Like, that's so weird. And now here I am in the US. So that's not lost on me, you know, moved to the US about 8 years ago. And so this story keeps coming back in the last couple of weeks for me around, for every 1 mile of road is 2 miles of ditch. And he continued saying, and I have you on the road walking your journey, walking your walk. You have a vision in front of you and it's so far in front of you. You know it's there, but you can't really see it. And with every step towards it, it's crystallizing more and more. You're starting to see it getting clearer and clearer. And as you're walking down the road, I want you to walk with your hands out to the sides. And there's people in those ditches that are going to grab onto your hand, and you can grab them and pull them alongside of you and walk with them. Some are going to walk ahead of you, and that's okay. Some are going to trail behind, and that's also okay. Those ones that you're holding onto their hands, there are times where you're going to grab people in that ditch and they're going to grab onto your hand and they don't want to come onto the road with you. But as you keep walking towards your vision, this is what's going to happen. You don't go back into that ditch with them. You get to keep walking your walk and they get the choice as to whether they want to come walk alongside of you. A lot of the times I found myself jumping right in that ditch with them and going, come on, let me pull you out. And then next thing you know, I'm wallowing in that ditch waiting for somebody to come along and grab me out of it. And so that was a hard lesson for me. And it's the thing that I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep walking towards my vision because I'm called to something greater. I'm called to step into my greatness. And for anyone listening, you are too. So keep going. Keep developing your character. Like
that is a Debbie said. What a beautiful story. Boy, what a beautiful story. I am so using some of your stories, Karen. You always have beautiful stories.
Even
when we first met.
I hope you do.
Oh my gosh. They're tangible. Like people can relate and they can see it. Your visions are very visible. Like they're stories that you can feel and hear and touch and go, yeah, I can totally see that, right? Like I can totally see walking down the road and, you know, with the hands are outstretched. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. Wow. You're such a beautiful woman.
I know. Like, I feel like I'm just learning that in the last couple 3 weeks, actually about 3 weeks, where, you know, somebody asked me, what's your why? And I thought I knew it. Like, I thought I could not verbalize it. What is my why? And I remember a long time ago asking God to show me through stories, through things that I could understand, you know, because I don't always comprehend, you know, when I read or when I, you know, I don't always comprehend, but I'm very visual. And so, I'm like, I want your wisdom. Just like Solomon asked for wisdom, I ask for wisdom, and I asked for you to show me, for him to show me in stories. And, it's never stopped. So, and now I use that, and I realize part of my how is through storytelling. And and how, you know, like what you just said, and that's why it's like coming back to love, inspiring stories on shifting perspectives. And you know, that's what I'm doing here. So
yeah, I love it, Karen. I wish I was so good at telling the stories. Like I'm not a great storyteller.
Okay,
but when people
I'm
get it,
they stop
get
you it. Right there. Because you just told a great story about your dad. And
you
are a great storyteller, and you get to develop, you know, and that's just it. Because I clearly received everything that you said, and I clearly understood and comprehended what you said, and it's beautiful. So
thank you.
I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Coming Back to Love, the podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please make sure to click the link in the description to take you to the full video episode on our YouTube channel. If you absolutely love what we're about, please follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and leave us a review. For more inspiration and resources, visit my website at theklwprojectgroup.com. where you'll find all the ways you can connect with me. I would love to hear your suggestions for topics, questions, and future guests you'd like to hear from to support your coming back to love journey. In the meantime, have an inspiring rest of your day.